Well, it's not quite over yet, but it's gonna be over. So we figured we'd go ahead and get started because there's not even all that much to talk about, which is kind of nice for a change. For the most part, it's all very pleasant. PressBox is Project Game Day post-game show. Ravens about to finish off the Denver Broncos by a tune of 27-14. They will improve to 2-1 on the season. The post-game show is brought to you by Glory Days. Catch all of the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where they have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $5.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays, and drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today. Try something new from their seasonal menu. Glory Days Grill. Great food, good sports. No, that's not the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. Almost as lovely.
Almost. I forgot my hoop earrings today.
That's true. And you suggested that I play Philip Lindsay instead of Buck Allen, so I'm...
I didn't expect him to throw punches, so, you know.
PressBox's Project Game Day welcomes in Ken Zales as our post-game host this week, alongside myself, Glenn Clark. KZ, I don't know. Like, I don't have a whole lot that I need to say about this game, which isn't great for doing a post-game show and isn't great for doing a week of radio about it, but as far as the Ravens are concerned, outside of those that were hoping to see a more established, more dominant rushing attack, we're probably disappointed, but I think you can live with that when you throw the ball as well as Joe Flacco threw it today.
Yes, but here's what the rushing attack did. It stayed consistent. They continued to run the ball. It didn't become predictable, and they ran the ball. Was it effective? No. They were under 4 yards a carry, but they never stopped running the ball. And maybe, you know, that's because they had a lead in this one, so it's easier to do that when you have a lead. But that's the balance that I think this Ravens team needs. And it's sad that every time that there seems to be a loss, we always go back to, well, they didn't run the ball enough and things like that. And I hope that this is a sign of things to come. Look, on the PressBox Fantasy and Reality Football Show today, I called this a must-win game. When you looked at the schedule coming up, three road games, Monday night game, followed by, you know, all of a sudden Tennessee. I don't know what in the world happened in that game today, but you know, there were three games. They haven't played well on the road traditionally. They needed to win this game. And they came out, and defensively especially, they were dominant. They were in...
I didn't think they were dominant, Ken, but I thought they were good, and they covered their asses where they needed to cover their asses.
But I thought the pass rush from the start was really good. They didn't always get home, but every time something happened, the pass rush forced a holding call or a hands to the face call. Right. And I think that was a big part of the constant pressure that they put on playing down two of their pieces on the front seven.
So here's a couple of things. We talked about this concept of it's not a must win. You can never have a must win game in week three, but where I would lead to what you're saying. And I actually said something very similar this week on Glenn Clark Radio was, a reasonable roadmap to the Ravens winning 11 or 12 games, if you're a believer that they might be capable of doing that, or at least hoping that they might be capable of doing that, a reasonable roadmap to that had to include beating the Broncos at home. It had to. There's just no roadmap that you could come up with and say, here's how reasonably they can get to 11 wins this season without winning this game. That's not something that you could do. So in that way, I do think it was very important. I think it was a critical win for that. Not that I'm necessarily a believer that they can win 11 games this year, but if they could, it was going to need to involve this one in any reasonable scenario. So they get that. The defense, to me, was good enough. And you're right, they ended up forcing a lot of penalties. How much of that was on them versus a Broncos offensive line that was just grab happy today? I don't know. That was a major part of the story. But clearly they were able to generate some pass rush, which is much more than they generated a week ago. The Broncos, I expected them to sort of follow the blueprint of what the Bengals did last week, and they did not at all. They were in no rush to get the ball out. I don't know if that's just they don't believe that Case Keenum is capable of operating that type of offense, but the Bengals showed you what it is that you're supposed to do against the Ravens defense that's playing without Jimmy Smith. And the Broncos said, nah, we'll try something else. And that was stupid. That was really, really dumb. Now, it hurt them, obviously. They never really were able to establish the run either during the course of this game. And that went a long way to the Ravens sort of being able to tee off in the second half as the Broncos were down multiple scores and constantly had to try to throw the ball. So that helped the Ravens a great deal. I don't know. You know, you feel good about this one, but I don't know that it suddenly makes you feel drastically different about the Ravens as a team. I think you still have questions in general about the defense and the ability to get big plays and to stop the most prolific offenses or even the more prolific offenses than what they've faced so far. I think that you still have questions about whether or not they're going to be able to be balanced enough as the season goes on along offensively in order to win as many games as they're going to need to. But for now, it's a check, and I think mostly it's a check in the you can viably accept them as being a contender sort of category.
You can, and I agree with that. I look at them, and you know, you look at the Denver Broncos, and yeah, you know, they snuck by with fourth quarter wins leading up to this game, but you know, they only gave up 14 points to a team that has two legitimate wide receivers who came in with one of the leading rushers. He didn't last long because, you know, whatever, he threw a jab apparently.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
He did. We've seen worse, not ejected, but he threw something.
He saw it. Correct.
You know, I mean, seven of the Broncos' 14 points came because of the block punt, and they had a short field where they set up shop at the 3 yard line early in the game, and you're like, okay, it was one of the great start to the game, three and out, and then you're punting and get it blocked. But I really thought defensively, I thought they kind of stood their ground. They really got tough within the red zone. They got the one pick, but. I thought they played really well, and it wasn't about the number of sacks for me. It was about the number of pressures, and we don't have those numbers yet. But I thought they pressured Keenum very, very well. And Suggs, you know, Suggs will do this, and he was really good.
They recorded 9 quarterback hits
today. That's a good number.
That's a real good number.
So I like what I saw. I like the balance. Again, you know, that you would want the rushing. You want to see that 4 yard plus per average, but at least they never stopped. They never said in this game, look, it's not working. We're only averaging 3 yards a rush. We need to throw the ball more. And whatever meetings they had during the week to say that we have to stay with the run game, I'm glad for 1 week. That seems to have worked.
Yeah, and Jonathan agrees with you and references the fact they didn't abandon. We talked about that at the half. Again, the effectiveness, not great, but it's the fact they kept going to it. They used it the way that they needed to use it today in order to show the willingness to run, and I think you're willing to accept that. A couple of things that jump out at me that I want to go through if we can. One, through 3 games, Joe Flacco has been exceptional.
Terrific.
It'll be easy for some people to say, well, yeah, that's because they drafted Lamar Jackson and put some heat on him. Again, the worst thing right now about this team at the moment, and hopefully whenever he becomes the quarterback down the road, but the worst thing about this team's offense right now has been Lamar Jackson. I get it. They were able to run for a touchdown on the play where Lamar Jackson was in the early going, and as I said at halftime, I don't dismiss that perhaps the Broncos were in some way affected by his presence on the field. It seems really dumb to be affected by Lamar Jackson's presence on the field right now, particularly when the Ravens are announcing to broadcasters, he's not a wide receiver, we're not running routes with him, there's no reason for him to be out there. Like, the decoy stuff is just stupid. But to me, the Joe Flacco story is that his wide receivers are making plays. He has wide receivers that are going and not only catching the football, but at times fighting to catch the football, running good, crisp routes, continuing their routes. Everything about the way the wide receivers have played this season is in direct opposition to what we've seen from this team's wide receivers in the last couple of years, and that, to me, is the story of why Joe Flacco, through 3 weeks, has looked phenomenal versus the garbage that he looked like around this time a year ago.
He truly, Brown, Crabtree, and Snead, is a wonderful third-down target. I think they use him really well. I think he ate... Flacco today hit 8 or 9 different receivers in the game, including all 3 tight ends at one point. So I like that, and we talked about this morning as well. The offensive line, you got to give them kudos. You know, Von Miller came in as the leading AFC sacker with four, and they neutralized him today. They let Chubb get loose a couple of times, but you know they chipped. They used the tight end on that side. I thought the game plan today to help out an offensive line that coming into the game you thought it struggled through 2 weeks was a step in the right direction. I'm still wondering why Orlando Brown doesn't play more, but you know, for 1 week, I didn't see the back of Hurst's jersey while Flacco was on the ground. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that was nice. So, right.
So
that was nice.
So it's a step in the right direction. But I you know, like you said, what's there to say about this team? I will bring up one point. You know, playing without Mosley this week, I thought Kenny Young was really good. He was in multiple right places throughout the game. You know, I thought he went sideline to sideline well. You saw the speed. Can't think of a tight end that really caught a pass today, so that's a step in the right direction. So I thought, you know, Kenny Young playing today, I thought he was a...
What are you suggesting? They might be better without C.J. Mosley?
No,
out there?
No, not suggesting that. Know. I'm not suggesting that at all. But sometimes tackle numbers are inflated, and I thought Young is a guy that you can... you can start to trust a little bit. I liked what I saw out of him today.
All right, a couple other things I want to get to. Joe, and this is a fair point. This is from Joe on Twitter. Joe says, Glenn, what I feel best about is that it was a lopsided win and probably should have been even more lopsided had it not been for the bogus call on the field goal block and not for a silly punt block early going. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do this math.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, it was clearly, as the broadcast crew eventually explained in the second half, but we were all talking about it at halftime. No, the NFL did outlaw the leaping over the lineman rule on field goal blocks, and that should have been called.
Should have been.
And that should have never been a block. And Justin Tucker, would that have given them a first down? I would have to go back and do the math to see if it would have given them a first down at that point.
I don't know what the penalty is for it, whether it's a five or a
right. And I don't remember
unsportsmanlike type thing. Right.
I don't remember what the down and distance was at the time either. So I can't, off the top of my head, tell you if it would have been a first down there. But let's say at least you put 3 points back on the board in that situation. Now you're talking about a three-possession game. And, yes, the punt block thing's no good. But it's not as if the Ravens have a history of failures in punt protection. And it's some sort of long-term concern that you have. For the most part, the Ravens have been pretty good in that department. It was a weird thing that allowed for a touchdown early on. And so you can reasonably do the thing where you say, well, if it not for a couple of bizarre plays, one of which should have never happened because it was a terrible call, you could start to imagine yourself this being more like a 30-7 type of game, a complete ass kicking. So yeah, I think if you're a Ravens fan, you have every right to feel good and maybe even feel better than what the final score ultimately dictates about the football game. I think you feel great about it. I do think the question, and it's another one I got as the game went along on Twitter, I think the question now becomes, for example, the way that Ed worded it, Ed said, Glenn, I feel good about this performance, but I don't know that I still feel great about matching up against the Steelers a week from now. I know the Steelers haven't exactly been the Steelers so far, but their offense is still loaded, even without Le'Veon Bell, and I'm not sure that this defense is ready to handle that without Jimmy Smith. And to me, that's the story, right? The story is, you feel good today, Ken? Like, of course you feel good.
Great.
You did what you were supposed to do. You're playing at home. Now, where is your faith that translates a week from now when you go to Pittsburgh?
I don't think who's on the field matters usually when they go against Pittsburgh.
Jimmy Smith has mattered a lot.
But what I'm saying is, it's like you've gone to Pittsburgh before with quarterback X not being Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, you mean as far as Le'Veon Bell's concerned?
Right, right.
I think the absence of Jimmy Smith is way more significant to that than the absence of Le'Veon Bell.
I truly agree with that. But I'm not – it doesn't make – if you lined up your season and you looked at that first Steeler game, and you looked at the you know, wins loss. You had them 6-10, or 10-6, or 11-5, or whatever, and making the playoffs. I don't know that you gave them the first game on a Sunday night for the Steelers as a win.
You might not have, but if you're getting to the math that we're talking about,
right,
which is the math where you can win the division,
correct,
11-5, 12-4 type of record, I think that roadmap probably included a win over the Bengals on Thursday night in week 2. And because you lost that game, you're going to need to pluck one that you didn't expect to get at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can lose both of those games and still get to 12 wins, even 11, I think, is going to be really tricky to ask.
I'm having trouble with the math because the 11 and 12 wins was never in my,
right, correct,
my mindset.
But that's your goal. Your goal is to win the division.
Yeah, but I think if you start counting road division games as wins, I think you're barking up the wrong tree, which is what made this game to me so important. It's like you cannot lose a non-conference home game and still expect
division,
and still expect to get to where you want to get to. Look, the Steeler game, the Ravens will be ready for it. If you want to talk about a positive, even though they're at home, the Steelers play, you know, have a little bit of a shorter week. They play on Monday night, and then they turn around and play on Sunday night. Gives the Raven a little bit of a more of a rest, a little bit more time to game plan. They get to sit in their comfy chairs and watch the Steelers and start their game plan.
Seems like you're avoiding the question.
The key to the Ravens, no, I'm not worried about, because the key, I'm not worried about the defensive side of the ball. The key to the Pittsburgh,
that's crazy to me.
The key to the game against the Steelers, can the Baltimore Ravens, A, score enough points, and B, control the ball and not put it in Ben Roethlisberger's hands?
The exact opposite of what's happened the last two times the Ravens went to Pittsburgh.
I understand that.
Like, they
that.
Did that,
I
and the defense was the problem.
But you can only do so much. I mean,
the defense did nothing
Pittsburgh,
the last two times they went to Pittsburgh.
Well, they did fine until the last drive of the game.
Last time? The second half, they did nothing. They couldn't get a stop. The last two times the Ravens have gone to Pittsburgh, they couldn't
I'm thinking 2 years ago in a game that meant something.
Well, they both did. Both those last two. The last 2 years, their season ended in Pittsburgh at the end of the year. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Last year's season ended at home.
Okay, fine. You can say that it ended that way. Their division hopes ended.
Oh, yes.
Lost
to win the division.
Last
to win the
year.
Division.
Yes.
I get it. I'm... They're better equipped to be without Jimmy Smith than they've been in the past. Hopefully you get Mosley back next week. Apparently he was a lot closer to playing than anybody ever expected after he went down on Thursday night. He practiced a little bit this week. I think the key to the Steeler game, whether Jimmy Smith is in or not, is can the Ravens run the ball consistently and keep Ben Roethlisberger off the field. Because if you continue to give Ben Roethlisberger chances with Juju and Antonio Brown, it doesn't matter whether Le'Veon Bell's there or not, they're going to chew you up eventually.
All right, considering I watched the game a year, I mean, I just can't believe what you're saying right now. They ran the ball incredibly well in Pittsburgh a year ago. Alex Collins had 120 yards. They were brilliant on the ground. The problem was they didn't have Jimmy Smith, and Antonio Brown lit them up for over 200 yards.
I get it. But to give yourself a chance to win, you still have to do all those things.
Right, I understand.
You can't rush for 3 yards a carry in Pittsburgh and expect to come out of there with any type of...
Alex Collins ran for 7 yards a carry a year ago.
I'm talking about what they're doing now.
Right.
I'm not worried about what last year was.
But
I've moved on.
What I'm struggling with is...
I've moved on from last year. This is the new team.
But this is the story. The story to me is, without Jimmy Smith, can your defense, which is almost entirely the same, can your defense figure out a way to stop a Steelers team with, again, the only difference being no Le'Veon Bell? That's the only difference.
Well, I mean, and Connor's not a bad player, but I look at it.
And by the way, Le'Veon Bell did nothing against the Ravens a year ago.
Let's put it this way. Whether Jimmy Smith is there or whether he's not there, to me it comes down to the defensive scheme. the problem with, you know, with Antonio Brown is why you're one-on-one with Antonio Brown with the game on the line and not with a safety on that side of the field. If you can't do that scheme, whether it's Jimmy Smith or not, I don't care if Jimmy Smith's in the game. When the game's on the line, somebody besides Antonio Brown's got to beat me, so there's got to be some shift of a safety to that side of the field. And then do you trust Humphrey or and Tavon Young to take care of the other guys? I understand what you're saying. If the scheme is better, and maybe it is under this because I've liked it a little bit better with Martindale than it was with Pease. I like the pressure. I like the fact that they're making quarterbacks make decisions quicker and the pressure's constant. It's not just, you know, let's rev it up. Let's not – on third down, we're not playing coverage all the time. We're actually going after the quarterback and getting some pressure. I think the scheme is better. You're better equipped with – personnel and scheme right now than you were last year when that happened.
Maybe scheme. I mean, I'd still have to see it. I don't think you're at all better equipped personnel-wise. I'd have no idea where that's coming from.
I think you're deeper. I think Tavon Young being back helps you have maybe Humphrey on that side, Carr on the other side, maybe have...
I have zero confidence in Tavon Young's ability to defend Antonio Brown.
Well, I don't think he's on Antonio. Well,
I think that's they're going to line him up to try to make sure that happens.
That goes to me with scheme.
Right, and the scheme part I'm
willing
to
hear. That goes to me with scheme. You are 1,000% right. I do not on any play that the Steelers run next Sunday night on Tavon Young, on Antonio Brown. I don't care if he's in the slot.
But you know that the Steelers are looking right now for how – not right now because I got another game to
play.
But, you know, they're going to look at – that's what they're going to attempt to do. Everything they're going to try to do is to make that happen.
You're right. And if the Ravens coaching staff is not smart enough to figure out that they can't allow that to happen, or if it does happen that they need to double them from the start, whether it's with a safety or a linebacker, if it's a shallow route, whatever – then shame on them. Because you saying this right now,
I mean, it's obvious.
I agree. I mean, it's totally obvious. That's what good teams do. They find the weak link and they try to expose it. I know the Ravens don't like to do this, but if it takes shadowing Antonio Brown with Humphrey the entire game, whether he's in the slot, whether he's on the outside, let's think outside the box
But this goes to the bigger question about the Steelers, which is the reason why they're so tricky is because you have to respect Juju Smith-Schuster, and you have to now. I think James Washington has shown you enough already that you have to respect him
coming out of college.
So that it creates the problem, which is you can tell me about all of these things. To me, the answer comes down to, ultimately, can you get after Ben Roethlisberger? Mm-hmm. They showed some ability to get after quarterbacks today.
It's
a far different animal getting after Case Keenum than it is getting after Ben Roethlisberger, as we have known better than anybody has over the years. And they didn't get after Andy Dalton at all a week ago. And you know that the Steelers will not make the same mistake of seeing what it is that you're supposed to do against the Ravens and not replicating it the way that the Broncos did. So do I have confidence? I don't know how I could possibly have confidence that even a solid performance — they were good enough today. They were good enough. That doesn't give me confidence they can go do it a week from now when they have to go to Pittsburgh. That leaves me I'm going to need to see it before I believe in it. But where my confidence is, oddly, is, as always, I think Joe Flacco and these receivers are very capable of going in and winning a shootout if that ends up being the case. And they've had, a year ago, they had the opportunity to do that. They got the ball back at the end of the game, and if Jeremy Maclin had remembered that the football fields had sidelines and that you weren't supposed to step over them, they would have been in field goal range to try to win that game a year ago, despite giving up 39 points and being atrocious defensively. They still would have had a chance, and that's the weird part about this team, is right now, if this were to end up in a shootout, I feel good. If the Ravens defense has to make a stop at the end of the game, I don't. That's who they are at this point. That's who they are to me. A couple more things that came in from Larry. Joe played very well. Love John Brown. Offensive line still troubling in the running game. Stanley is worrying me. Defense played well without Mosley and Pierce. The defense has to play extremely well against Pittsburgh and the Browns, for that matter. They have not made many stops in key games in the last 3 to 4 years against really any team when it matters. And they are going to need to make more than a few if you want to try to win those 10 to 11 games. I don't think that's unfair.
I think that's very fair. This goes back to me with scheme. I think you have to give Martindale an opportunity to make that in one of those games and see where it's different. I see the difference already with the pressure and some of the things that they're doing on the back end, but you'll have to see it in a game that matters that's close in the fourth quarter.
Well, in a situation where you're not able to tee off a little bit more. Obviously, right. The difference in a game like today is because the Broncos were down a couple of possessions late in the game, the Ravens kind of knew what they were able to do in that game situation. They were able to go after it a little bit more because it wasn't the end of the world if the Broncos found something over the top in the process. They were able to – the game situation allowed them to sort of generate a little bit more pressure, but I think you're right. I think that they will need to show that in a situation where things really matter moving forward. All right, I need 30 seconds to tell you guys about the U.S. Army, then we'll come back in. Some more stuff to get to as we continue to react and want to hear from you to the Ravens getting a, you know, really solid, emphatic, good throughout type of victory, 27-14 over the Broncos today. We'll talk more about it. Give me 30 seconds to tell you about the Army. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is what happens when you're trying to do everything at the same time and host a show.
Respect. It's more than a word. In the U.S. Army Reserve, it is a core value, a value that brings together a variety of people from across the nation to answer the call to serve. Serving part-time in the U.S. Army Reserve means earning the respect of your community and your nation, all while pursuing your career and educational goals and staying close to home. And now, in addition to earning respect, you may qualify to earn up to $20,000 in bonuses when you join. To see if you qualify, visit goarmy.com/reserve or call 1-800-USA-ARMY, paid for by the U.S. Army.
Back in here. Nobody heard that because the mic was off. I'm not thrilled about the idea of there being another tie in football. I said this when they made the
rule. I know.
Why they ever, like, the argument that you were taking 5 minutes off of overtime for player safety was always so effing stupid. It's 5 minutes in overtime. Like, you're not changing player safety that much. All you're doing is increasing the chances of ties, which no one wants.
We're about to have we could have our third one.
Correct. I mean, I don't know where New Orleans has.
New Orleans is down at the Atlanta 9:35.
So probably not going to be a tie.
I don't know if this is the first. Is this their first possession? And I don't know if they've.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Used the entire clock. I haven't looked.
Lord. Another bizarre day. As I said earlier today on Twitter, just a reminder that every time you think you know anything about the NFL, you don't. You don't know anything at all. I was only about 45 points off on the Vikings game today. As I pick them to cover a 16.5 number.
The only good thing about the Minnesota game today is I don't have to worry about my lock pull anymore and reminding myself
that was your pick.
Because they were my pick, right, and I'm done.
Done.
I mean, how could the Buffalo Bills go to Minnesota and win 27-6?
I was off by 37.5 points.
Yeah, well,
on that pick.
I mean, you just missed.
Yeah, just other than that, nailed it.
I mean,
other
if you had reversed the score, you were there.
Correct. Would have been in.
It would have been
they
in range.
Right. Correct. They would have covered if they had just scored. Anyway. You know nothing about football. Anytime you think that you might, the only result that's relevant today, as far as the AFC North is concerned. Is that Carolina beat Cincinnati 31-21, so the Ravens move back into a tie with the Bengals atop the AFC North, but of course the Bengals hold at the moment the head-to-head result over the Ravens. It's still very early in the season, so it's not like any of it really matters all that much, but that is the one result that matters. Of course, Pittsburgh plays tomorrow night against the Buccaneers, and we all know the Browns ended up getting the win on Thursday night against the Jets. A question that was brought up by Steve says, Glenn enjoying the postgame show even without Rita. Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to say, Steve.
What are you trying to say, Steve?
That it's normally better with Rita? I mean, I think that's what he's trying to say. In fairness, again,
It
video,
probably is.
It's a video show. Like, just keep that in mind. It's a video show.
What are you trying to say?
Right. He said, now, of course, Steve, after he gives us a compliment, ends up with a dumb question. He says, I saw the Steelers were trying to deal Le'Veon. No, just don't even finish that. No.
Actually, they came out today and said they're not listing the offers for Le'Veon Bell.
So Schefter reported it. They denied it.
Right.
My gut is they're denying it because they have to. I don't think Adam Schefter just made that up. This is Adam Schefter that we're talking about. My gut is that somebody called. They said, all right, we'll listen to you. I don't think that means they're actively trying to trade him. In no world are they ever trading him to the Ravens, even if they were. So don't even finish the sentence, Steve. Don't even bother to finish the sentence. Now, why they wouldn't, I don't understand at all. If I'm the Steelers, I'm absolutely interested in trading Le'Veon Bell. If there's a team that Le'Veon Bell would be willing to agree to an extension to, a la what happened with Khalil Mack before the season with the Bears traded for Khalil Mack knowing they'd be able to extend him. If there's another team that talks to the Steelers and is willing to give him an extension and the Steelers can pluck away something for somebody that it appears they're just going to let walk away at the end of the year anyway,
I don't know why
you wouldn't do that, especially as it appears more and more. Again, if he's already gone ahead and missed three games, I don't see any reason to think he's showing up before
week 10.
Correct. Now, somebody's made the argument that he just waits out the trade deadline, like that's what he's doing, and then maybe he shows up. But again, I see no
reason.
Why
would you? I mean, if you get credit for the last 6 weeks, why would you show up for 7 weeks?
The argument that I've heard is he waits out the trade deadline in hopes of forcing the Steelers to trade him. If he can't force them to trade him, then he just shows up and plays for the sake of showing up and playing and hoping to remind everyone of his value. It's a theory that's been floated out. It's not like anybody's heard that from someone that suggested that Le'Veon Bell's planning on doing that. It's a theory, but I'm with you. My assumption is that he's out until week 10. If you're willing to miss three games, why not go ahead and miss all 10 and just show up when you have to? And then the Steelers decide what it is that they're going to do from there. But, if I'm the Steelers, I'm absolutely interested in trading Le'Veon Bell. I just don't believe that it's going to actually occur, and there's no world in which they were ever trading him to the Ravens, so that point is moot. What? What are you giggling about?
I'm just laughing at the trade him to the Ravens.
I mean,
like, that's going to happen.
In a million years. In a million years. That's never occurring, and it's pointless to even have the conversation about it. From, good question from Jeff. Jeff, have you guys talked about what it is that's going to happen when Hayden Hurst comes back in? I really liked what I've seen from Mark Andrews and don't want to see him have less snaps. I don't know that's that binary. You know what I mean? My gut is they would like to have both guys on the field at times.
I mean, they've used all three tight ends. Correct. I mean, even now they've used – I mean, they used Williams, they used Boyle, they used Andrews, and I think Andrews fits the role of the seam tight end.
Well, I think he's a guy that can split out wide.
Right. That's what I mean. I mean, use him in the slot, you can use him out wide, you can use him all over the field. I think they use him at the same time. I think it gives them more some more looks and to be even more dangerous offensively. So I don't think it affects the snaps that we've seen from Andrews at all. Now, it may affect Boyle, it may affect Williams a little bit, but I don't think it affects Andrews.
I agree. I do like what I've seen from Andrews as far as big plays are concerned. Yeah. Now, as far as a blocker is concerned, I don't know. We talk about the run game not getting going and the run blocking being an issue. Well, I don't know if there's a factor as far as what's happening at the tight end position. I would have to sort of see more about that in order to get a feel for whether or not the tight end is an issue in their run blocking at the moment. I would have to see some more sort of clear video in order to get a feel for that. But in general, I like what I've seen from Mark Andrews. He's certainly made some plays. He's been reliable for Joe Flacco. There's been a lot of good there. So I'm willing to give you that. I think that's been a good thing, but I don't think that that's a situation where only one of them can be on the field or where as soon as Hayden Hurst comes back, there's going to be no Mark Andrews or something along those lines. There was two other things I wanted to get to. A couple more people lamenting the Lamar Jackson stuff. Again, it was far less today, and that's...
I actually thought that they used him better today. I mean, they used him a little bit differently. On the one touchdown, instead of having him come all the way across, they kind of put him out wide like you thought he would either do a screen.
They had him dance around.
Yeah, they had him dance in the backfield a little bit. That it took a linebacker away from the middle of the field because you had to have somebody over there. And I thought that was it. I didn't like – stop. Do not throw him a pass.
I don't know.
What are you doing? Why? There are certain packages that I think they should use with him, and I like the one that they did. I like the one so far the best around the goal line when Collins scored today. I liked that look. I like that formation. Everything else, just have a package and bring him in. These silly little Flacco's out wide and he's behind center in the shotgun, or he lines up at a wide receiver. It doesn't do anything.
No, but and again, I'm opposed to all of it in general. Like, I just don't see any value to it whatsoever. Again, you can make the argument, and again, I don't know if they would have just scored a touchdown there.
I don't know
anyway,
either, but
I do think that they at least caught the attention of the Broncos,
correct,
in that situation, and it had some impact, which by far is the best thing that's happened when Lamar Jackson's been on the field
1,000%
this season. That's not a good thing, because they've had him on the field a bunch, and they've gotten nothing from those plays until that moment.
How many snaps do you think he played today?
Like five.
I was gonna say four or five. It wasn't as much as they had been using him.
Correct. And again, I don't think he needs five snaps. I don't think it's necessary. But I've bitched about Lamar Jackson plenty for the first 2 weeks. Today, I just didn't think warranted it. It was.
Oh, I wasn't gonna bitch about it.
Far less.
Yeah.
It was.
Wasn't as in. I used the word intrusive last week.
Yeah.
It wasn't intrusive to the offensive flow, like it had been before.
Right.
I guess that was my
thing. The one
thing.
Pass to the outside was
dumb.
Yeah,
it was dumb. I know.
It was dumb. And as I said to somebody asked me at the half, they were like, do you think he purposely alligator armed it? I think Joe purposely threw it over his head. I think Joe in that situation sort of saw there was nothing there. There was nothing to be gained from it, and purposely threw it over his head. And maybe it was a little bit of both, right?
And if that was a business decision on Lamar's thought process, I support
that. I have no problem with
that, too. Support that
process. It's dumb. It's dumb. And John Harbaugh telling the broadcasters he doesn't run routes is dumb, too. Like, you're lining the guy up as a wide receiver. You can't broadcast that he doesn't run routes. There's no chance that at some point you're ever going to use him as a wide receiver. You can't do that. That's dumb, too.
Nobody listens to John Harbaugh.
Well, they did. They announced it on the broadcast today.
I know.
They said it.
I know. I was
John Harbaugh told us the guy doesn't run routes. Isn't going to run routes.
Tongue in cheek.
Interesting. Really, really interesting.
Probably not something you want to share.
What's that?
Probably not something you want to share.
No, I don't think that's smart. All right. That'll probably be about that for today. Again, just a solid performance all in all. Just a pleasant. It makes for an ungodly pleasant post-game show.
It does.
Nearly as much fun.
It's not. I mean, when they lose, it's easy. And when they do stupid things, it's we can complain about. But they really, you know, they really didn't do anything.
Right. They basically did everything, you know, the right way, outside of a weird block punt and a dumb call that allowed for a block field goal. You take those two things away today, and it's...
And it was almost, you know, it was almost a good
entirely
game.
Entirely good, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
KZ will be back on the Fantasy and Reality Football Show next Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. He's also the fantasy expert at PressBoxOnline.com and at FansFantasy on Twitter. We're back with you tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio, 10 to noon. Tons to talk about from the Ravens. Also, obviously, the news this weekend regarding Buck Showalter and the report from USA Today. So we will be talking about that tomorrow morning as well. 10 a.m. to noon and glennclarkradio.com. Rita's back with us next Sunday for the Project Game Day postgame show, which will be another late night after Ravens-Steelers on Sunday night. So we will be with you late next Sunday night. It's all brought to you by Glory Days. Catch all the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where we have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Good game tomorrow night, so get over there for $5.99 burgers plus $5.99 nachos on Thursdays. Drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today, try something new from the seasonal menu. Glory Days Grill, great food, good sports. Press Bosca's Project Game Day. After a Ravens win, appreciate y'all hanging out with us. We'll talk to you next week.